Lord be with you.
Today we have a special treat. We are going to be consecrating some new elders, and then we will participate in communion together. I've asked Bob to give a little bit of a charge, and then I'm going to share a few things that I shared with the elders at our first meeting by way of just laying out a couple of core values. Since they were all new to the team, it's good to lay down some basics, and I'm just going to tell you what I told them. But in case you have forgotten, the three gentlemen who are being consecrated today are Dennis Yatouzis. Go ahead and stand so they can see who we're dealing with here. Dennis Yatouzis. Brian's holding a child. Is that okay if you stand anyway? Okay, Brian Zook. And Gerald Yoder's in the back there. So these are the three gentlemen that are being consecrated as your interim elders team. Now this morning we met and had, you guys can be seated. This morning we met and had an 8 o'clock to about 10 o'clock meeting. And one of the things that we did establish was that the interim term is going to last 1 year. At the end of that time, if they're willing to go on and you're willing to vote them on, we'll proceed. And we'll also be probably adding a few more elders as time goes on. We'll see. Not really entirely sure. We're having a good time, though. It's really wonderful for me to have... I didn't like being without elders. It was too much pressure. This is better. But I'm going to let Bob give a few things by way of charge, and then I'll finish up, and then we'll lay hands on these guys.
This is totally irrelevant to what Tim just asked me to do, but you ever wish you could dance? I mean, the Lord took care of that for me. I can't. You know, that was just sort of hereditary. He took care of that. But boy, I know I must look pretty funny from the back as I'm trying to worship. But, you know, what makes those songs good is the truth in them, right? It's the truth. And sometimes my mind says, man, you ought to dance before the Lord. And my body says, there ain't no way, brother. Give it up. I don't know about that. We might have some people not come back next Sunday. Anyway, here's my charge, or here's God's charge. You know, Tim asked me to do this, and I was glad to do that. But I'll tell you, one of the things lately that the Lord's been working out in my life is just instead of being quick to speak, go to his word. And so this morning I have some scriptures from 2 Timothy for you men, for Dennis and Brian and Gerald. And so I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself with a few comments. It's reading out of 2 Timothy 2 and 2 Timothy 3 and then in 2 Timothy 4. Paul is giving a charge to Timothy here. As a young pastor, as an elder, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. And men, my first charge to you, and this is something you already know and something you have already exemplified, is your commitment to the word of God, your love for the word of God, your belief that is... what we answer to. And one of the hardest things for me to work out as a pastor is that one day I will give an account on how I rightly divided the word of truth. So my first charge to you is to continue to love the word of God, and more importantly, love the author, and to stay in the word of God. Because as you'll see from this charge, and as you already know, what we are called to as pastors and elders and believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, If you don't have the word of God, you have nothing. Secondly, the Bible says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Now, that's a sermon all in itself. Must not quarrel. And we're going to disagree, but the Bible is clear that we shouldn't quarrel. And I still believe we can do that. He must be kind to everyone. That's a hard one, isn't it, Dennis? It's a hard one. Able to teach, and I think you men have exemplified that, and not resentful. Why does he put that in there last? Not resentful. You know, I'll allude to that here in just a minute, but it's so hard for me at times not to be resentful when I've thought I've done my best and given the counsel that God has laid on my heart, and it goes full circle and it comes back to me, and it's nothing like I thought I said. Now maybe it was, but it doesn't sound like it. So as elders, we're not to be resentful. And if it's not for the grace of God, there's no way we cannot be resentful, because we're human. We're broken vessels. But God's charge to elders is not to be resentful, no matter what. Then over in chapter 4, he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And then he goes on to break it down. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, this is the charge I give to you. And we'll judge the living and the dead in view of his kingdom. Wow, I don't know if that hits you like it hit me this morning as I read these verses. That's pretty heavy. Preach the word, his word. Allow the Spirit to be the one that breaks that down for you, that unpacks his word for you, so you're able to teach, so you're able to correct, rebuke, and encourage. How do we do that? I mean, again, that's a whole nother sermon. With great patience and careful instruction. So he's charging you to have great patience and to be careful. You know, there was many times in my ministry as a pastor that I was not careful and I was not patient. I went in like a bull in a china shop. And boy, things get broken when that happens. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Here's the Apostle Paul facing death. And he named some of the people that deserted him, friends of his that weren't there when he needed them. But the first thing that he says, don't hold this against them. And so, men, my charge to you and to Tim and I and to all of us, we're going to be disappointed. People are going to fail us. Don't hold it against them. Don't hold it against them. Allow the grace of God to be sufficient in your life, and don't let a root of bitterness spring up and defile many, the Bible says. I'm amazed at Paul. You know, Paul had a little, I don't know if he had a little bit of Elijah syndrome or not. I'm the only one. I can tell you from experience, I get that syndrome awesome often. I'm the only one, but it's not so. Listen to what Paul said. He said, But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Wow. Bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. He doesn't say that everything's going to work out in the church or on this earth or with your relationships. He doesn't say it's always going to go exactly how we want. He doesn't say you won't labor and toil and pray and pour yourselves into a situation and it'll turn out the way you want it to. But he says the Lord will deliver you. That's what he says. And so my charge again to you is, don't hold it against them. Jesus on the cross, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you have a propensity to take offense, being in leadership in the church is no place to be. if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, we're called not to take offense. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then finally, this is what he says. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And I don't want to act like I'm a martyr or I've been persecuted or anything like that, but I will be honest with you, there's times that I've felt like it. But we can expect things not to go our way. We can expect attacks from the enemy on our family. And so, men, this is my charge to you. God bless you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You can. He wanted to know if he could come back up then and lay hands on him when we prayed. You can thoroughly lay hands on him. I don't even know what that meant. It's the little things. Can you mute the track with his hand held on it? It's buzzing now because it's... Thank you. When we met, I wanted to share with the elders some core values to help us lay foundation. And I think it's helpful for you to hear this as well, because this applies to all of us as we walk through life. But this is what I said. I said, guys, prayer is a big deal. Prayer is a huge deal. In some places that I've been, in some meetings that I've been, it feels like we pray before the meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, as a kind of like parsley garnish. Have you ever been to like a steakhouse where your steak comes out, like, and then they put this little sprig of something on it, this little green sprig, and you're like, I don't know what that's getting on my, get off my plate. Somebody's trying to put veggies up on my plate. I'm trying to eat a steak, son. And, you know, you might chew on it and go, that's fascinating. Anyway, moving on to the actual meal. Right? So if somebody sent you out a meal of like a sprig of parsley or something, you'd be pretty disappointed. And if they didn't send it at all, you might think that the presentation was off, but you wouldn't really miss it. And I've got this idea that sometimes prayer functions like that in Christian ministry meetings. You know, we do a sprinkling of a five-minute devotional at the beginning of the meeting, or we do a cursory, obligatory prayer like, Jesus, thank you for this food, amen, kind of a prayer. Jesus, thank you for this meeting that we're about to have. Guide us in all we do and say, be glorified, amen. Boom, and then you move on. And I'm not saying that long prayers are superior to short prayers, but what I am saying is that prayer is the steak. Because prayer is where you engage the one whose actual work is the one that makes it effective. The whole sermon that I had last week on Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. That is saying, look, God, if you don't do this, then it doesn't get done. Because everything we're doing here that matters is impossible. Everything that we do here that's possible is just human. And we're trying to grow up saints into the image of God. We're trying to spread the gospel. We're trying to bring people from spiritual death to life, and then from baby life to mature, thriving life, functioning in all that God has for them. And that, my friends, is an impossible work, which means it must be God that does this. It must. So as we're making decisions for the sake of the church, as we're trying to set core values for the sake of the church, as we're simply trying to figure out what we should even be talking about tonight, I said, guys, prayer has got to be far more the meat than the sprig of parsley. Second thing I said to him was it had to do with the apt word. The Bible's got like a million words in it, and they're all true and they're all good, and we're to preach the whole counsel of God. But the elders or the leadership of the church can't focus on the entire Bible in every season of church life. In other words, there's something God specifically wants us to focus on now, for the season we're in now. And what I was basically saying is if you could imagine the Lord's building a temple or building a house, you could say that leadership is kind of like the mason, you know, the bricklayers or the block layers. And we need to know from the Lord, what is the block that we're trying to lay now? What is the tier that we're working on now? Is he focusing on the message of grace? Is he focusing on the Father's love? Is he focusing on the holiness that he requires of us? What is he focusing on? The role of prayer? What is he into? Trying to train us about spiritual warfare? What is he talking about? That everyone's a missionary? What is he into right now? What is the next piece? What is the next tier of brick the Lord wants to lay as he is building his church? Which goes back to the first value of prayer. We've got to be men. This is what I was saying, and this is true for every one of us. We've got to be people who through a certain kind of praying, this is not the kind of praying that says, God, here's a bunch of stuff I want you to do. Thanks for obeying me. Amen. But rather, this is the kind of praying that gets our hearts in close proximity to the Father so that by being with him, we can sense what his heartbeat is for the moment and cooperate with him. Yes, we talk to him about the stuff that's on our mind, but then we also unload those burdens and take on his burdens and his agenda. Because we want to be a leadership team. We want to be Christians. We want to be sons of Jesus, sons of the Father, brothers of Jesus, under his lordship, who are doing what he's doing now. What is he doing now? And then I had a third value. So first value was prayer. It is not the parsley, it's the steak. Second value was to be about what he's about, the apt word. What's the word of the Father for this season? And we actually talked about that a little bit, and I suspected that perhaps it was the word holiness. Perhaps the word for the season is holiness, which Dennis talked about when I asked him to share about how to get this heart ready to be a suitable tabernacle, a suitable temple for the Lord. Dennis hit on that big time. I think the word for our season, that this is, I don't take this as from the Lord because I don't get tons of confirmation on this yet, but I have the sense that burning in my own spirit is something about the need to walk in such a manner worthy of the calling that we've received. There's some kind of burden that I'm sensing for the church that, yes, we have laid the foundation of grace for some years now, and that's been helpful, and we need to keep that foundation in place. But now we've got to attack that grace is the energy and power of God that fuels our obedience and passion. That just because we're not under law doesn't mean we're free to do whatever we want. But now we're freed from being under law to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit instead. Which leads to a greater holiness because the law can only regulate so much, but the Holy Spirit can transform the inner workings and motives and desires. So that's the sermon that I didn't mean to preach. Anyway, getting back on track. So value one is prayer. Value two is the apt word. And value three is the testimony. I said, guys, here's another thing I don't want us to do in this leadership team or in any leadership team. I don't want us to get together and immediately begin to focus on all the stuff that's broken that we need to fix. Did you know everything's better than it's always been and nobody's happy? And I'm not talking about church here, I'm talking about society. It's never been better than it is right now and nobody's happy. You can walk into Walmart and see options that Solomon did not have. In plastic containers that in their perfection of form and beauty and ergonomic design are more amazing than the most incredible jeweler made stones 500 years ago. We sit on an airplane and complain that it took 20 minutes to take off. And that the Wi-Fi that they just told us we now have available in flight went out for 5 minutes, and we go, oh man, this is terrible. We just found out it existed 5 minutes ago, and we're already mad. We're flying through the air in a crazy tube. You are like thousands of feet above the ground sipping coffee, and you're groaning and grumbling? Dude. I'm being a little silly here, right? Like, you open your smartphone and you're trying to download an email and you're like, oh, it's taking so long, this stupid phone is ridiculous. Hello? It's communicating with the internet, and it's collecting data from servers in a different state, and it's rerouting things through a different country. It's circling the globe like 4 times in less than 10 seconds, but you are upset that it took you 4 more seconds to wait on it. Things have never been better, and nobody's happy because of the story we're telling. It's possible to come into an elders meeting or into a council meeting or into a dinner conversation with your spouse and stand next to miracles while you're moping and feeling sorry for yourself. I said, guys, we need to start every meeting with testimonies of what God is doing. What has he been doing lately? What have you seen him doing lately? Because until we frame our mindset by what we've seen God do, the impossible among us, usually, until that frames our mindset, we're not ready to tackle the problems that are facing us. Because until the testimony has built our faith and our mind to a position that's called a renewed mind, which always has hope, until that has happened, we will be attacking the problems before us with merely human solutions. And we will view our human limitations as the extent of what is possible, and we will reason our way to solutions the Lord never intended because we've excluded him from the equation. So I went on to just tell a few testimonies to the elders of some of the things I've seen the Lord do lately. Just a few. Is Corleen Landis here? No? Okay. She came up to me after church one Sunday recently, and she said, I'm the left elbow. I said, oh, the left elbow, great. She said, yeah, after church, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, you said, the Lord's going to heal somebody's left elbow. I thought to myself, I doubt I said it that way. Pretty sure what I said was, left elbow, come up for prayer. Because I was in the shower and I saw a picture in my mind that registered to me as this is from the Lord. And I stepped out and said it. Okay, Lord wants to heal somebody's left elbow. But I didn't say it would happen. I just said we're supposed to pray for it. Anyway, she said, well, my left elbow always goes out of joint. By the way, we did pray for 2 other people. And that was awesome because that gave us a chance to pray for 2 other people. And you never pray for a condition. You always pray for a person. And if the answer didn't happen for the condition, it's not a failure because you loved on somebody. Anyway. She said, my left elbow always goes out of joint, and then I have to go to the chiropractor, and it gets put back in, and it hurts like crazy, and it's real weak and gimpy, and it's just a problem. But that particular day, it wasn't hurting, so I thought, nah, not going to go up. So I didn't. But that afternoon, on my couch, as I laid there, this heat and this tingling descended upon me and stayed on my left arm for like an hour, and it burned like crazy and tingled. And my left elbow has been healed ever since. And I've been telling people the testimony. But I haven't told you yet. And the Lord's been keeping me up at night, saying, you need to tell Tim. And I'm like, well, thank you. About time, like 2 months late, I was like, I wonder what happened with that. Anyway, that's not it's not the most amazing thing in the world, but you got to admit, that's pretty cool. Here's another little one, just a little one, teeny one. Sarah Biasi came to the prayer meeting, and we prayed about some important things, and then at the end, you know, it was obvious that her left sock and shoe were off. And she said, well, you know, I was getting something out of the freezer, and this ice pack fell on my toe, and I think it broke it, because my foot hurts, my toe hurts so bad that I can't even put a sock on. I said, somebody with faith, pray for this girl. Well, Audra McDormand laid her hands on her. I put my hand on Audra, praying for the Lord to use her. And then we moved on our merry way. And the next day I got an email from Sarah saying, Tim, I should not be surprised by this, but I am. My left toe, my foot, the toe on that foot does not hurt at all. I can poke at it and bend it and everything, and it doesn't hurt. A few weeks later, I checked on her and I said, how's your toe doing? She said, perfect. that's kind of cool. Here's another one that I shared with the elders. We went to pray for Lester the week of his passing. And he was in quite a bit of pain at that point and was a little anxious as well. And after we prayed, after the first season of prayer, we prayed for several seasons there, but after the first season of prayer, you know what that means? First 5-minute interval of prayer, and then we take a break, talk some more, pray some more. After the first season, he looked at me and he said, "I felt the peace of God come on me when you prayed," which was what I prayed for. There's other testimonies I could tell. There's somebody in here who's struggled with shame and guilt since they were, I don't know, 6, 8 years old. Now they're in their 60s, and the Lord set them free in February. There's marriages that have struggled for years. Anyway, the testimony is very important to get our minds aligned to who is this God we're dealing with here. Who is this God we're dealing with? That was pretty much it. That was what I had to share with those guys. I didn't preach them a sermon. I just said prayer, the apt word, the testimony. And then we were off and running. At this time, I would like to invite Brian and Becky. Is it possible for you guys to come up with the children? I don't know how this is going to work, but Brian and Becky, Dennis and Beth, and Gerald and Ruth to come up here. We want to lay hands on you and say some words over you. Sure, that's fine. Then would you like to be involved in this, or are you content to sit in your comfortable padded pew over there? Lynn Byler is our overseer, in case you did not know. He was very much involved in helping to guide this process of developing this interim team. So if you have a problem with me at any point, just talk to him. That's a joke. Don't. Talk to me first, okay? Please, seriously. Talk to me. Wouldn't even be biblical to do that. I'd do it that way first. As I prayed about consecrating you guys, last night the Lord said, just bless whatever you see that's already on them. So that's what I'll do. I just want to bless what I see already on each of you. Dennis. God, I ask that you would put more of a prophetic anointing and unction on Dennis. It's already there. Would you deepen it? Would you develop it, Lord Jesus, even deeper? And God, I bless the healing anointing as well. I pray, God, that you would use Dennis to release others into their destiny and calling, that he would be one who, in his prophetic anointing, would see what you see on people and call it forth. And he would speak words that bring them closer to what they were meant to be. I see that God's given you a Caleb spirit. That's one of the first guys in to the land. The first wave into the new land, but also I see that you have the wisdom to be able to navigate the dangers of that new land without falling into the errors of the surrounding peoples. I'll put it in those conquest terms. God, I ask that you would raise up Dennis even more as a watchword, as a watchman on the wall, as a sentry, as one who is a protector of the people. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. And the word is holiness, Dennis. The bride must be radiant. The bride must be radiant. Prepare the way of the Lord. And Beth, no spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. Robed in white. For Beth, there's a Deborah thing going on here. There's a a warrior courage. Some of this will be repeat, like I've prayed for you before, but God, I bless that confident, hopeful courage to lead the charge and rally the troops to have faith in the one who is faithful. The person with the most hope has the most influence. And we speak hope over Beth. The person with the most hope has the most influence. Too long has the absence of hope opened the door for negative forces to influence others. That season is past. That season is past. That door is closed. Hope. Person with the most hope has the most influence. This is the season of the strong female warrior like Deborah. Encouraging words, imparting hope to others, creating an inspiration for radical faith in the one who is radically faithful. We bless you. We bless you. Gerald, I see a meekness on you, and I see the true heart of a deacon on you. Now, you're in an elder role, but I'm talking about the Stephen heart that I sense on you, have sensed on you since I met you. Caring for the widows and the orphans. You're a man of faith. You're a man of faith. You believe the report of the Lord. Do you have any idea how special that is, to believe the report of the Lord? You're one who does not succumb to the spirit of the age, which mocks God's ways. You don't elevate yourself and think yourself so clever that the mighty acts of the God of Israel are beneath you. You stand in awe of the God of Israel. You have great faith, the same great faith that Jesus saw in the centurion, that Jesus saw in the Syrophoenician woman and was amazed. And faith is in you. I pray God deepens and spreads a fire of faith through your influence, a quiet spread of wildfire through the brush. It's not a loud roaring one. It's not going to be the outwardly ostentatious thing, but there will be a slow burn as others catch your faith that you spread through contact. Everyone you come into contact with. And I see a wisdom on you as well, Gerald. There's a wisdom, and you see more than you say, and you say slower than you know. Let me say that again. You see more than you say, and you say slower than you know. And that in itself is wisdom. And I could learn from that. So the blessings of Abraham be upon your head and upon your household in Jesus' name. And Ruth, I see you as a nurturing, kind of like a hovering helper. I get the sense that the same posture that Jesus expressed when he was weeping over Jerusalem, saying, I've longed to gather you under my, in my arms, under my wings, basically, like a mother hen gathers chicks. That same posture is what I sense in your spirit, a kind of a protecting, nurturing, mothering vibe that you have. You could call it a mothering anointing. And so I'm just asking God to bless that and say, God, may all that she overshadows. Maybe all those who are overshadowed by her intercessory encouragement, the note writing, may all those who are overshadowed by, all those under her shadow be overshadowed by you, Father, in the same way that Peter's shadow healed. May her shadow communicate your grace, your presence, your touch. You're a connector and a resourcer. And God, I bless that. I ask that as Ruth connects people to resources, that they would fit, there would be an aptness to it, and that you would plug people into the power source. You would find the right plug that fits. It's like all these modern devices, sometimes they don't come with plugs that fit correctly, and they're not. And just ask that, I'm just asking that the Lord would use you to plug the device into the Holy Spirit source for them to grow and thrive. Whether their issue is marriage or whatever their issue is, that God would bring to your mind the right AC adapter, so to speak. I know that's a strange metaphor, but that's just, you're a connector, and I bless that. Mr. Brian, you have a stable wisdom, Brian. I bless that wisdom, and God, I ask for the increase of that wisdom. Thank you for the stability, the the fortitude. There's a passion that your quiet exterior in some ways hides, but those that know you and are influenced by you know it keenly. There's a hunger for the Lord, a hunger for the mission of the Lord, a jealousy for the depth and maturity of the people of the Lord. There's a long obedience in the same direction that you've already had, and I pray that God deepens it, stable, faithful, over the long haul, a mighty oak. There's incredible winds right now and storms in your life. This feels like one of them, like it's adding, like we're in a tornado and people are out there just throwing gravel in the air nearby and it's getting up in your eyes. Like, this is not necessarily helpful because this is work and your life's hectic enough. But I'm asking the Lord to establish you like that mighty oak, that when the tornado passes, you are untouched. You are unscathed because your roots go down deep and your trunk is that thick. There's a strength here and a stability because the roots are deep, 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 deep. I bless you. I've prayed this so many times over you. I bless the creativity over Brian. Fresh ideas, fresh designs, both for furniture and for business solutions. I pray an entrepreneurial savvy upon this guy. Ideas that I can't even think to pray, I release over you in Jesus' name. Ideas I can't even think to pray. Even ideas having to do with how to make money in new ways. How to monetize things that you're passionate about in new ways. They're fine. It's all good. It's all good. We can put a little trampoline up there. It'd be fine. Bless them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Also, training and equipping missionaries, buddy. This house is a missions training ground. And you're going to help us get there. Training and equipping and then sending them out. We bless you in the name of the Lord. He doesn't need it. He's fine. It's all good. I'll give him a microphone next and see what happens. You have so much responsibility on you. In fact, case in point, like right now it's happening. You want to deal with them so that I can pray for her effectively? Thank you. You have so much responsibility on you. And I'm just going to repeat what I've already prayed over you in the past. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and a self-control. That is who you are. That is how he sees you. I pray supernatural strength on Becky. Supernatural strength, supernatural endurance upon her. She is perceptive, she is intelligent, and you are equipping her for the task that you've called her to. You are equipping her for the task at hand. God, give Becky an ability to work out of a posture of rest in you, fellowship with you. Help her to find refreshment in you, refreshment in your presence throughout the day and also throughout the night. God, show her how you see her. There's two words coming to me. One of them is competence, that you can do this. You can do exactly what he's asked you to. And the other is strength. One is for you to know. One is for me to pray. You are competent. He wants you to know that because you're in him and you're rooted in him and your competence comes from him. And the second is strength, and that's what I want to pray for you. Strength to stand this test. You are in a difficult chapter, and that makes sense. That you are, like, literally, you're in a tough situation. Like, you just are. So you're going to feel that. You know, it would be weird to feel like stress-free with all the responsibilities you have. It would be really weird. So you're feeling normal. But I'm praying strength and endurance. Bless you in the name of the Lord. For all of you, if you could huddle up. And you guys can stand and extend a hand toward them at this time. God bless this little tribe. I pray we would walk close, that no division would be among this team, that you would knit our hearts together in the cause of Jesus, that we would express your grace and your love, your patience, your kindness, your mercy, your truth, your confrontation to these people that we love deeply. Give this group everything they need. Bless them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Bob, you're going to set up communion. And we thought about having you three gentlemen bless people as they go through the line. You comfortable with that?
One of the things that we believe strongly here at our church, that Tim and I believe, is that they're part of the ministry of impartation is the spoken word of blessing. And so don't think it's strange that these men are here up front. Tim and I are up front. I just, you know, communion is a special time for us as a body. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, the word says. We have an open communion here at Canon Mennonite Church. So if you are a believer in Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you are welcome to participate in communion with us. But the Bible is clear that we are to examine ourselves daily, the Bible says. Interesting, it doesn't say examine that person or the other person. It says examine ourselves. And in the scripture here, in 1 Corinthians it talks about examining yourselves. And so as a pastor and elder, I invite you to do that. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to participate this morning with us as we take communion. And again, as our new elders are up here and Tim and I are up here, and we just want to make contact through eye contact, a handshake, a touch, just to know, one of the reasons I like to be up here is because I can sort of connect and see where people are, because this is historically something, if people haven't taken communion, then I know that there may be something that I may need a visit or a call or a prayer or something. So this morning, as these men are here, let them bless you. And Tim and I are available to pray with you if you want that also. And we're also going to have the elders out at the back after we take communion together. So you know how we usually do it. We come through three lines in each section, take the bread and the cup, go back to our seat, and take it together. So that's how we'll do that this morning. Just do a little bit of explanation on how we do it here at Canon. I invite you to stand with us as Tim comes now and leads us in communion.
Thank you, Bob. On the night that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread, and after he'd given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." And after the supper, in the same way, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it as often as you do in remembrance of me." So now, Father, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit on us and on these gifts, bread and cup. We ask that they would be for us the body and blood of Jesus, in order that we might be the body of Jesus for the sake of the world. It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.